there ain't no way. And The Rock means no way that Stone Cold Steve Austin will ever beat The Rock to become the WWF champ.
We're gonna put everybody's name in a hat, and we're gonna pull one name out. Whoever it is, Goldberg included, he wrestles the Nature Boy for the World Heavyweight Championship tonight.
You want a war? You're gonna get one.
Now get the guns, the drugs, to my generation, you'll take the fall. The saints will cross the nation, dead into sex. The gods, the freaks, the frauds, they're messing with me. Come on, come on, come on, let's get it out. Move to the music, play that fucking music. Live through my music, yeah.
Hey yo, Reliving the War episode 178, March 22nd, 1999. This week we've got Raw coming from Albany, New York, while WCW Nitro's live from Panama City Beach, Florida. We should be in for a good one this week. It's spring break over on TNT, and I always enjoy these episodes of Nitro from Club La Vella. It's such a unique venue. The WWF, meanwhile, are going to present WrestleMania this Sunday, so we've got one last week of hype before the showcase of the Immortals. These really are the kind of weeks when I love putting this show together. Jam Up guy Stephen Diggs sent me this little gem over on Twitter. Steve and his buddy Joe attended Collision recently and they had the best t-shirts in the whole building. Hope you guys had fun and thank you very much for supporting me, the channel, and Reliving the War. Alright gentlemen, put your bikinis on and pour yourself a margarita. Let's head over to Panama City Beach and check out our number one of Monday Nitro. Bull Payne versus Van Hammer, that's our Nitro opening match. This is the match WCW thought would hook viewers in and make wrestling fans stick around for the rest of the show. All of a sudden, that Nitro with no wrestling in our number one doesn't sound too bad, does it? The competitors tease fans by trying to throw one another into the swimming pool surrounding the ring, but it didn't happen. Van Hammer won with his spinebuster that he calls the flashback. This match gave me flashbacks of shitting my pants due to food poisoning. Rey Mysterio gets interviewed by Ricky Rackman and he says he's going to give Kidman a shot at the Cruiserweight Championship at Spring Stampede. I talked about this last week, but my thoughts remain the exact same. WCW can't keep putting on the same match like this, no matter how good it is. Kidman vs Mysterio is a great matchup, but there's so many other Cruiserweights in WCW who deserve a shot at the gold. I'm of course talking about El Dandy. Rey Mysterio fears El Dandy. The superstars of WCW frolicked around on the beach earlier on and a Miss Nitro was selected from a bunch of impressionable young women. We'll come back to this later on in the show. Disco Inferno says that he saw a girl earlier on that weighs more than he does during the Miss Nitro bikini contest and the Inferno was not impressed. Ricky says the best way to silence a crowd is for Disco to tell one of his jokes and once again, Disco wasn't amused. Riveting stuff here at Spring Break. Fit Finlay faces Rick Steiner later in the show and Finlay wanted to make sure the dog-faced gremlin was ready for their match. It then dawns on you that this is nothing more than some product placement for Surge Soda as Rick holds a can of sugary goodness. And Rick says, "Yes sir, I am ready for our matchup tonight." Hack cuts a promo with Ricky Rackman next, I'm noticing a trend here. Hack says he's the king of extreme and from this day on, he wants to be known as Hardcore Hack. Tonight, Sandman's gonna face Goldberg in the middle of the ring and Billy Boy's gonna find out what being extreme's all about. Gonna be honest, I'm kinda interested in seeing that train wreck a little later on. 8-man luchador action's up next, Damian, La Parca, Super Colo and Liz Mark Jr. versus Psychosis, El Dandy, Silver King and Mil Máscaras. Mike Tenay's totally stumped here, WCW's resident luchador expert has no idea who it is under that mask, but his name is La Cucaracha, named after the famous Mexican song or he's literally a giant cockroach. He seems to do just fine in the ring, but his clothesline gave it away immediately for me. Yeah, I've watched way too much Nitro in recent years and I'm almost embarrassed to admit it. Check out La Parca and Psychosis sliding each other out of the ring. I thought this looked pretty funny. The luchadors start diving over the top rope and it gets a bit dangerous, seeing as the space between the ring and the barrier is very limited. And back in the ring, La Cucaracha watches every competitor jump off the top rope and completely miss their targets. He's a very smart cockroach indeed. La Cucaracha then hits everyone with Stone Cold Stunners or Chartbusters, and La Cucaracha Disco Inferno wins the match for his team. He says no comprende as he walks back over the bridge. Ric Flair tells JJ Dillon he wants to wrestle tonight. He wants to give the whole WCW roster a chance to win the world title, and he wants to hold a lottery to see who gets that opportunity. He then says he only wants mid-carders and cruiserweights in this lottery, and Dillon thinks this is absolutely fine. And you know what? So do I. I know Rick's trying to get himself an easy victory, but it's about time a lower card guy got a shot at the big time. Dusty Rhodes is back on Nitro. He says there seems to be a little confusion because Ric Flair told him he'd be the commissioner of WCW. When that didn't happen, he was also told he'd replace Larry Zbysko or even Mike Tenay on commentary, but that was also a promise that didn't get met. All of the bad blood between Dusty and Flair was set aside for a while, but Rhodes now wonders if Flair has a problem with him. The American Dream says Flair may be WCW champion and president of the company, but Dusty Rhodes is still the bull of the woods. Dream leaves the interview and Mike Tenay's got this look on his face as if to say, "You're not taking my job, you big bastard." Slick Rick then comes out for an interview, and you just know the Nature Boy's more than happy to be in Panama City Beach tonight. He gets interrupted by Raven, who wants a title shot, and so Rick gives Raven a tag team title shot tonight on Nitro. Raven and Kenyon versus Chris Benoit and Dean Malenko. Raven says Kenyon isn't here tonight, so Rick says Raven has to face the Horseman all alone. Raven's like, okay, whatever. Flair confirms that there's going to be a lottery later on tonight, but he tells Mean Gene that everyone in WCW is going to be involved. Nash, Bret Hart, Goldberg, absolutely everyone. This contradicts what Flair said to JJ Dillon earlier on. So clearly, the WCW champion's trying to fool everyone. Slick Rick wants an easy night. Stone Cold Steve Austin bumps into a guy driving a big old beer truck at the start of Raw. The lonely driver wants Austin's autograph, he's just came back from the Neon Cowboy. But Stone Cold says he can get our main man a free ticket to the show tonight. What a nice guy Steve Austin really is. Raw begins with a corporation promo while Rick Steiner takes on Fit Finlay on Nitro. It's announced at the beginning of Raw that the Big Show's gonna face Steve Austin tonight in the main event. McMahon's pretty excited for this main event, and he's also excited to be standing beside two awesome champions inside the ring. Shane says it'll be an honour to embarrass X-Pac at WrestleMania this Sunday, but Shane-O doesn't want to wait until the pay-per-view. He challenges X-Pac to a Greenwich Street fight tonight on Raw. Stone Cold watches the promo backstage as The Rock calls his WrestleMania opponent the biggest piece of trailer park trash walking God's green earth. The Great One says there's no way Austin can beat him this Sunday for the WWF title, and this makes Stone Cold walk away from the monitor. It looks like Austin's afraid of the corporate champ. McMahon then says he's gonna appoint a special referee for tonight's Austin vs Big Show match, and you guessed it, this is Mick Foley's cue to come out and try to get himself involved in the main event. Mick says he's the best referee there is, the best referee there was, and the best referee there ever will be, and he wants a match against Rocky tonight on Raw. If Mick beats Rock, then Foley can be tonight's special referee. Vince thinks Mankind's been drinking too many beers backstage with Stone Cold, and Rock tells Mick to kiss his ass. Mick thought that this request would get denied, so Mick already went to San Antonio and he already got Shawn Michaels to sign off on tonight's Rock vs Mankind match. The match is going to happen tonight on Raw, and the winner will get the referee the main event. Mick leaves, Vince and Rock then decide this isn't so bad, seeing as it gives Rock a chance to lay the smackdown on Foley's candy ass once again, and it's at this moment when the glass shatters and Steve Austin makes his way down to the ring in a beer truck. This is quite a sight to behold as the giant Coors Light truck gets driven right down to ringside and the crowd go absolutely crazy. Austin gets a hell yeah from fans when he asks if everyone's ready for WrestleMania this week. He then says Rock better quit his little nursery rhymes about Know Your Role Boulevard, because Stone Cold's going to check himself into the SmackDown hotel. He's going to head straight to room 316, and Austin's going to burn the hotel right down to the ground. This little statement greatly upsets The Rock, of course. Austin says Rock's looking at the next WWF champion. Stone Cold's going to celebrate his victory with a few beers at WrestleMania, but Austin also wants to have a few pre-WrestleMania drinks tonight on Raw. Stone Cold proceeds to get down from the truck, and he holds the biggest beer bash in Raw history as Vince, Shane, and Rock get drenched in Coors Light. What a historic moment right here on Raw's War. This wouldn't have been half as good if it wasn't for Vince McMahon hamming it up. The chairman falls over numerous times, and he even begins swimming inside the ring. It's so funny, it's so good. Stone Cold is ready for WrestleMania. The corporation have been humiliated once again. We're going to see Rock and Stone Cold in action a little later on. And what a fantastic start to Raw's War this week. 10 out of 10. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? How in the name of fuck are we supposed to check out a Fit Finlay vs Rick Steiner match after watching that incredible opening from the WWF? Well, we don't check it out. I tell you that Rick Steiner won because, of course he did. He was never going to lose, and I tell you that he won with a diving bulldog as expected. It was announced here that a US title tournament's begun in WCW. Ming won a tournament match on Thunder, and later we'll see if Chris Jericho or Scott Steiner advance to the next round when they tangle it up in the semi-main event spot. In all honesty, I know a lot of you would expect a hard-hitting match between Finlay and Rick, but it was a pretty safe match. Nothing out of the ordinary, no big moves to tell you about. Look up the word standard in the dictionary and you'll see Rick Steiner vs Fit Finlay in Panama City Beach. The WWF take a rather humorous shot at WCW by holding a JR is War frat party, clearly making fun of WCW's Nitro parties. Dr. Death and JR are going to watch Raw with a bunch of stoners, so we'll check in with Jim and company a little later on. The Brood take on Jeff Jarrett and Owen Hart next on Raw, while El Vampiro wrestles Juventud Guerrera on Nitro. Now, this is more like it, a match on WCW that's actually a little bit interesting. Vampiro shoves Hoovy to the floor before Guerrera runs right into a spinning back kick. Hoovy comes back with a few chops, followed by a head scissor takedown, but Vampiro puts Juventud in his place with a massive powerbomb. Good stuff here from Vampiro. Hoovy then falls victim to a Uranagi followed by another powerbomb. Absolute domination here from Vampiro, but here comes Mr. Never Give Up with a botchy crossbody, though to be fair you could also put that one on Vampiro. We come back from a commercial break to see Juventud taking a few chops. Guerrera then gets launched out of the ring, but he comes back in with a springboard dropkick. The fans at Club La Vela start chanting boring as Vampiro pulls off a running facebuster, and it just goes to show that these fans at spring break didn't really care about good in-ring action, they wanted to see the big boys of WCW. Vampiro misses a top rope attack, but he stops Hoovy's 450 with a gut-wrench suplex from the top. I think Hoovy jumped a little too early here, but still Guerrera's able to counter a powerbomb attempt with a Hoovy driver, and Juventud Guerrera wins on Monday Nitro. This match was definitely a bit messy in places, but it was still enjoyable. Best match on Nitro so far, albeit there hasn't been that many. On Raw, we get more Vampiros as the Brood get a shot at the WWF Tag Team titles. A Battle Royal is going to take place on Sunday Night Heat this week to determine the number one contenders for the tag titles at WrestleMania. And yes, I will be looking at Sunday Night Heat during the WrestleMania video review. I just love giving myself extra work. Funky Vampire Gangrel gets wiped out with an Owen Hart spinning wheel kick, but he answers right away with a capture suplex. Edge then comes in to power slam the King of Hearts, but we see some double team action from the champs as Double J gets tagged in. Edge holds his own against Jeff Jarrett, and he really didn't need any help from Christian, but he gets it anyway. For some bizarre reason, Christian's then allowed to take over from Edge, and the referee has no problem with this either. Even the commentators are confused here, as this was not advertised as a 3-on-2 match. Edge comes back in with a flying crossbody, and this prompts Gangrel and Owen to get in the ring. Owen locks Edge in a sharpshooter, and the match ends when Public Enemy hit the ring. The Brood and the tag team champions join forces to take out Johnny Grunge and Rocco Rock. The lights go out in the arena to signal a bloodbath, but it's not the Public Enemy who get drenched in Gangrel's red liquid. Oh no, it's Debra. Debra's been splashed in the face for the sixth time this evening, and she's not too happy about it either. The New Age Outlaws explode on Raw as Billy Gunn meets Road Dogg inside the ring. On Nitro, we find out who won the Miss Nitro competition at Spring Break. Super. So Ricky Wreckface gets in the ring and he says WCW have perved over women for 4 days straight and they have picked a Miss Nitro 1999. Her name is Julie Williams and she's quite the talker. When asked if she's happy to be Miss Nitro, she says,
"Yeah."
And when asked what it means to be Miss Nitro, she then says,
"It is cool."
They broke the mold when they made Julie Williams, a very interesting and articulate lady indeed. 100% deserved to be Miss Nitro though, her personality kinda matches up with WCW's current product. Here comes Kevin Nash and Hulk Hogan with a bunch of shameless bikini wearing hotties. Nash says the fans know who Miss Nitro is, it's time to find out who Miss NWO Spring Break is. Poor Julie must feel a little overdressed right now.
Yeah.
The girls get in the ring and Hollywood notices there's only 7 women here, there's supposed to be 8. So Nash tells the 8th woman to come on down and don't be shy, it's Spring Break for crying out loud. Out comes Tori Wilson and David Flair. David's definitely got a chance at winning this competition, but I was surprised to find out that Tori's actually the 8th woman competing tonight, silly me. Tori gets her heels stuck in the bridge that's set up from the entranceway to the ring. Well done, Tori. But all this is seemingly forgiven when Tori shows off what she's hiding underneath that dress. Nash tells Ricky to pick a Miss NWO. He's a little hesitant at first, but he quickly changes his mind when Nash sets him up for a jackknife while tapping him on the ass. My, this is falling apart, isn't it? Nash tells Ricky to pick Tori. Tori wins the competition, and Nash laughs as he says, "Sable, eat your heart out." Very good. So there you go, you now know who won the 1999 Miss Nitro and Miss NWO competitions. Enjoy this absolutely useless knowledge. On Raw, the Outlaws are going to wrestle each other with both their championships up for grabs. It's winner take all. Billy Gunn says sorry to Road Dogg in advance because Mr. Ass is walking out of Albany with both the Hardcore and IC championships. Road Dogg says it's all or nothing and Jesse James plans on leaving with ALL. Billy says Road Dogg's gonna leave with nothing just like when Billy Gunn found him. And I'm sorry, who the fuck's this guy right here? How did he get a job in the WWF? The Stooges are ordered to get Vince McMahon a coffee just before our match begins. And yeah, the Bret Hart shut up bit is now over, guys. It was a good run and I'll miss it dearly. Too many people getting super defensive over Jesse James.
Shut up.
We learned that X-Pac accepted the Greenwich Street fight as Billy Gunn falls on his ass when trying to take a hip toss. Don't know what happened there. He makes up for it by taking a few arm drags really, really well, and Road Dogg's now filled with confidence. That confidence gets knocked out of Road Dogg after a few right hands, but Billy hesitates when delivering the final blow. This allows Road Dogg to pull off the Dancy punch and Dancy knee. BA fires back with a head scissor takedown, and it didn't look all that great to be fair. And even though Billy misses a stinger splash, he's able to hit Road Dogg with a famouser. This one should be all over, but here comes Goldust, Al Snow and Val Venus to cause a DQ finish. The Outlaws join forces to take out a few of their upcoming opponents at WrestleMania. The Outlaws have seemingly put their little grudge behind them, and this means Billy defends the Hardcore title at WrestleMania against Al Snow and Bob Holly, while Road Dogg defends the IC title against Val Venus, Ken Shamrock, and Goldust. The Stooges get a surprise when getting Mr. McMahon's coffee backstage. The Legion of Doom attack Patterson and Briscoe for that little stunt they pulled last week during their match against Shane McMahon. It appears the LOD are back alongside Paul Ellering, but don't get too excited because they don't stay around for very long. The Blue Meanie cuts a promo on Raw while Hardcore Hack vs Goldberg happens on Monday Nitro. Another interesting match on Nitro here that probably made a lot of ECW fans cry their eyes out. Hack tries to get the early advantage by attacking Goldberg on the outside. The former WCW champ takes a few shots to the face and he gets choked out at the barrier. And back in the ring, Hack lays in more right hands until Goldberg decides he's had enough. Billy Boy fires back with a few punches of his own and Hack gets floored. The King of Extreme then manages to throw Goldberg out of the ring again, but it really leads to nothing. Back in the ring, Hack gets planted with a falling power slam, but he keeps Goldberg at bay for a moment with a rake to the face. A chair then comes into play when Goldberg takes a bulldog, and Hack then whacks his opponent a few times with his trusty kendo stick. Goldberg no-sells the weapon shots, making the Singapore cane look totally ineffective, and Goldberg also doesn't feel like taking a Russian leg sweep tonight. Our match ends with Hardcore Hack taking a spear and a jackhammer, and Goldberg wins via pinfall. No surprises here. We really should have counted Goldberg's second win streak. He hasn't lost on TV since Starrcade. On Raw, the Blue Meanie called Shamrock out. He says the WWF isn't big enough for both the Blue Meanie and Shamrock, so someone has to go and it won't be the Blue Guy. Shamrock's music plays in the arena and out walks Ryan Shamrock. Saw that one coming a mile off. Ryan gets in the ring, Meanie puts her over his knee for a live spanking on Monday Night Raw for crying out loud, but Ryan's brother Ken hits the ring to put an end to this debauchery on Raw's war. Goldust then runs down to attack Ken, Shamrock ends up applying the ankle lock, the Blue Meanie hits Ken with a steel chair, and that's how it ended. Meanie still seems jealous of Ryan's relationship with Goldust, and honestly, I've never cared less about the Goldust character than what I do right now. This storyline's been absolutely horrible, and I know it's mostly played out on Sunday Night Heat, but it's still awful, and I think Goldust and even the Blue Meanie could have been utilized in a much better way. Back at the JR's War frat party, Jim says he would have been at Raw tonight calling the action if Bob Holly didn't break his commentary desk last week. Still, he's happy to watch Raw in what must be the smelliest room in all of America, and JR wants to know where the girls are at. Dirty, dirty Jim Ross. One of Vince Russo's masterpieces gets teased next when we see the home of the Cleavage family. Nothing else is shown here except the letterbox, the car, and the house. I can't really say I'm looking forward to covering the Beaver Cleavage vignettes, to be honest. The Ministry have also just arrived to Raw, and Vince McMahon's more concerned about his lack of coffee right now. The chairman's booked a showdown between the corporation and the Ministry of Darkness tonight on Raw, so he isn't really sweating The Undertaker at all right now. Next on Raw, we've got Sable vs Ivory. On Nitro, His Excellency Bret Hart cuts a promo. So it appears that Bret Hart's going to hit the reset button and start all over again in WCW. He says he came to WCW to earn a reputation, not lose it, and Bret's confused as to why he hasn't had a world title shot yet after being in WCW for over a year. Bret beat Ric Flair when he arrived at WCW, and Bret knows he could beat Flair again for the world belt. And as for the elusive Hulk Hogan vs Bret Hart match, the Hitman's lost patience waiting for it. I'm guessing the September 98 match doesn't count. Bret says Hogan knows it all comes down to the Hitman vs Hollywood. That's the match, and for some reason WCW are hesitant to book the showdown on a big stage. Mean Gene cuts Bret off to ask him about Kevin Nash. Bret says some grudges never go away before reminding everyone that he's beaten Kevin before. The Hitman says Kev may be the pencil, as in he may be the booker, but Bret Hart's sure he can be the eraser. Bret then says Goldberg's a man who's been hand-fed his opponents. He's hid away from Bret because he knows the Hitman would destroy him. Goldberg's never had to step in the ring with a real technician like Bret Hart, and all that muscle and all that brawn wouldn't help Bill if he had a match against the Hitman. Bret challenges Goldberg to a match. He says the former world champ wouldn't last 5 minutes against the Hitman, so we very well could be looking at a Bret Hart vs Goldberg feud in WCW. You can tell this isn't what Bret wants. He wants the world championship, but for now he's going to settle with Bill Goldberg, and all we can do is hope he doesn't get squashed like Hardcore Hack just 10 minutes ago. D'Lo joins the commentary table for this Ivory vs Sable match, and he gives a shout out to Mark Henry. Mark's currently recovering from an injury. Sable's in no rush at all to start this match off, and before the two competitors go at it, we see the Pretty Mean Sisters make their way down to the ring. Sable throws Ivory to the mat with zero urgency as Terry approaches D'Lo at the commentary desk. D'Lo calls Terry a very cheap lady who provides certain services at a discounted rate, and that's putting it mildly, and Terry smacks D'Lo before walking off. D'Lo follows Terry as Ivory and Sable botch a sunset flip in spectacular fashion. Jackie then trips Ivory up from outside the ring. Sable struggles to get Ivory up for a Sable bomb, but she gets there in the end, and Sable wins via pinfall. Absolutely dire in-ring work right here, a terrible, terrible match. Tori runs down to get a piece of Sable, and it looks like the women's champ's going to get the better of her upcoming WrestleMania opponent. Tori fights back though, and the referee almost gets smacked too when he tries to break it up. And I'm sorry, if this women's match gives any indication at all of what we can expect at WrestleMania, then it should be a cause for concern. Vincent vs Horace takes place on Nitro again because it was so good the first time around. On Raw, The Rock takes on Mankind. You tell me, which show would you rather be watching? Vincent says Hollywood made him the boss of the NWO, while Horace is nothing but Hogan's nephew. So Hogan clocks Vincent and the boss gets his ass kicked. Vincent gets thrown out of the ring and he gets forced back in by the sheer power of Hogan Jr. But Vincent gets a chance to fight back with a neckbreaker followed by a middle rope fist drop. High octane wrestling denied at Club Lavella. The two have another brief fight on the outside with Vincent staying in control, but back in the ring, Horace gains the advantage after a suplex. Stevie Ray then shows up to get a closer look as Horace and Vincent smack each other near the ropes, and the match ends when Stevie Ray inadvertently pushes Horace into Vincent and Vincent wins with a small package. Stevie then attacks Vincent, Horace joins in on the attack, Bryan Adams runs down to attack Horace, Stevie Ray and Bryan Adams argue about something, and the crowd stays absolutely silent, which is actually quite the accomplishment at these Spring Break Nitro events. So, the winner of this Raw match gets the referee tonight's Big Show vs Steve Austin main event. It doesn't take long for the match to go to the outside where Rock gets thrown into the ring steps. When Rock turns it around and he decides to use a steel chair, the referee takes the weapon away from Rock and Mick's able to take advantage. Rock, however, manages to counter a suplex before the match gets back in the ring. Mick performs a back elbow before putting Rock down with a body slam. Mick then goes for Mr. Elbow, but luckily for Rock, Mick misses his target. Rock makes Foley pay by choking him out on the ring ropes, but Mick comes back with a low blow. Rock gets a little payback by punching Mankind in the balls moments later, so I guess that makes it all even. The two go to the outside where Rock grabs Michael Cole's headset. He says he's gonna whip Mankind's Rudy Poo candy ass, but that's not exactly what happens when Mick launches an attack at the commentary table. Just when you think The Rock's done for, he comes back with a big clothesline back inside the ring. Mick replies with a swinging neckbreaker, and then Foley gets thrown into referee Tim White, and we have just lost our match official. Rock takes this opportunity to hit a DDT, but Mick replies with his double arm DDT before going for a cover. The ref's still knocked out, so Mick decides to pull out Mr. Socko and put Rock away once and for all. Paul White then shows up and Mick tries to fight the Big Show off. Unfortunately, Mick ends up taking a chokeslam, but on the flip side, the referee wakes up and he sees Big Show attack Foley. This means The Rock gets disqualified and Mankind wins the match. Foley's the special referee for tonight's main event, and Paul White has screwed up once again. Backstage, Paul White's absolutely livid about what happened in that Rock vs Foley match, but it was your fault, Paul, so stop being such a big bitch. Next up, we've got Kane vs Goldust on Raw, while over on Nitro, the World Championship Lottery takes place in the ring. JJ Dillon says the superstars of WCW have been given numbers and everyone's got an opportunity to headline Nitro tonight. Dillon draws number 23 from the tumbler, and we learn backstage that Jam Master L Dandy just got himself a WCW World title shot. Mr. Dandy looks like he got injured at the hands of El Cucaracha earlier tonight, so Rey Mysterio snatches his number, and it looks like Rey wants to take Dandy's place. I am so angry about this because El Dandy's such a jam up guy and a serious professional, but someone else who isn't happy is Nature Boy Ric Flair. He screams at Dillon that Ray wasn't supposed to be included in this lottery draw, but Rick says the Horsemen stand their ground, and just like Benoit Malenko when they take on Raven, the Horsemen will defend their championships tonight on Nitro. Flair makes sure that Ray wants to go through with this tonight, and Ray says he has to, it might be his only chance. So our main event tonight is Rey Mysterio versus Ric Flair, and you know what, I'll take it. This is the kind of match we've always wanted to see at the end of a Nitro broadcast, so hats off to WCW and Kevin Nash for trying something different. Speaking of something different, that ain't Goldust making his way down to the ring on Raw. That snout is way too big and you can just tell it's Triple H. That being said, it's still kind of fun seeing Hunter copy Goldust's mannerisms. It also reminded me of when Goldust dressed up as Triple H to take out Owen Hart. Anyway, it's payback time for that fireball shot a few weeks back. Hunter isn't going to give Kane a Hadouken though, no, he's going to blast Kane's face off with a flamethrower. Bit harsh, but it definitely sends a message, eh? Hunter then beats Kane up as referees try to intervene. Triple H is a man possessed tonight, and when he eventually leaves the ring, Michael Cole says it's going to be a war this Sunday night when Hunter meets Kane at WrestleMania. Bob Holly shows up at JR's Raw party, and Bombastic Bob blames JR's stupid commentary table for costing him his match last week. Dr. Death isn't going to let this jabroni talk about his good friend like this, so the two have a fight here, with the highlight being this fish tank getting knocked over right here. There's no room at all for the two to have a fight worth watching, to be honest. They try their best, but even the cameraman struggles to get a good angle. Still, a Bob Holly vs Steve Williams match does sound a bit interesting, so it could be something to look forward to in the future. X-Pac meets Shane McMahon in a Greenwich Street fight next on Raw. On Nitro, Malenko and Benoit defend their tag team titles against Raven. So Raven walks down to the ring all alone, and as you might guess, he gets his ass handed to him by Dean Malenko and Chris Benoit. Kenyon's away shooting the Jesse Ventura story with NBC Studios, so Raven has no choice but to fight two horsemen all by himself. Perry Saturn runs down, and we think he's here to witness the destruction of his old friend, but in a surprising turn of events, Saturn attacks the horsemen, and it looks like Saturn and Raven are back together as a tag team. On one hand, I think this is great because these two do make an interesting team. On the other hand, it kinda waters down the demise of Raven's Flock, which was, in my opinion, the best piece of story work that was produced during the whole Flock angle. Seeing as Raven's been beaten up pretty badly, the horsemen are able to take care of Saturn quite easily. Raven watches on as his old friend gets beaten up in the ring, but Benoit misses a diving headbutt and Raven gets a hot tag that does get the crowd all fired up. Malenko and Raven end up fighting on the outside, and look at this counter from Perry Saturn. He dodges the arm trap and he brings Benoit down with a sweep, and then he locks in the rings of Saturn. Absolutely brilliant. Benoit stays locked in Perry's signature hold for a long time. Malenko and Raven get in the ring, and Raven smacks Dino Machino with a tag team belt. The referee then calls for the bell, and it appears that Benoit may have submitted. The crowd goes nuts for Raven and Saturn as they lift the tag team championship belts, but Pee Wee Anderson's actually disqualified the challengers for using the tag team belt as a weapon. Malenko and Benoit retain the tag team titles, but don't worry, these two teams are going to meet again at Spring Stampede. Kinda curious as to why Saturn joined Raven again though, probably have to watch Thunder to find out more. The Greenwich Street fight that takes place in Albany isn't a very long street fight. You shouldn't expect much here anyway, seeing as these two are booked in a match at WrestleMania. X-Pac connects with a spinning back kick before letting in a few punches, but almost immediately the Mean Street Posse pull up to give Shane a little backup. They're known as the Greenwich Posse right here, and there's a few guys who wouldn't make the final cut. The Posse hold X-Pac up while Shane tickles his opponent's balls. They then run away into their fancy little cars and they drive off into the night. Maybe not the best thing to do when you've got a match against X-Pac coming up at WrestleMania, but still, Shane sent a message to Kid and all of D-Generation X tonight. You do not mess with the Main Street, you do not mess with the Greenwich Posse. The Corporation and the Ministry of Darkness meet inside the ring next on Raw. On Nitro, it's Scotty Steiner versus Chris Jericho. These two met a few weeks ago on Nitro in a TV title match, and Steiner beat Jericho quite easily. This time in Panama City Beach, the outcome was the exact same. Steiner says he'll be the missionary man for all the hooches in Panama City Beach. Nighttime is prime time for the big bad booty daddy, holler if you hear me. Jericho comes to the ring wearing a sash, and Mike Tenay has no idea what it says. With the help of Google Lens, we can see it says, Chris Jericho, wonderful. A missed opportunity here to put something really dumb or offensive on that sash, but anyway, this match is almost a carbon copy of the last Steiner vs Jericho match, with Chris getting all afraid when Scott shows off his incredible physique. Steiner goes on offense early on after Chris misses a dive to the outside, but Jericho turns it around and he's able to pull off a lion salt and a diving back elbow. Jericho was unable to apply the lion tamer though, and Steiner picked up the victory after locking in the Steiner recliner. I would have went into more detail here, but it really was the same as their last match. Scotty Steiner advances in the US title tournament, and you gotta believe Big Papa Pump's the favorite to win the US belt at Spring Stampede. The Corporation vs Ministry fight over in Raw is another short affair with nothing really happening. It's Taz, Ken Shamrock and the Big Boss Man taking on The Undertaker and the Acolytes, but it's not a typical match, it's just a basic fight in and around the ring. All eyes are on The Undertaker and Boss Man, seeing as they're going to collide this Sunday inside Hell in a Cell, but again, nothing really happens. Undertaker sits up after taking a shot with Boss Man's nightstick, and Boss Man pays for his crimes by taking a jumping clothesline from the Phenom. Boss Man then gets knocked out of the ring as Shamrock and Taz continue to fight Bradshaw and Farouk, and that's really all there is to it. All six men brawl on the outside, and it ends when Undertaker and Boss Man begin fighting in the crowd. The lights go out in the arena and you expect something to happen, but that's it over. The WWF play a commercial for WrestleMania 15 and Raw continues on. Stone Cold Steve Austin vs Paul Wyatt is our Raw main event. On Nitro, it's Nature Boy Ric Flair vs Rey Mysterio for the World Championship. Rey Mysterio's got a big smile on his face tonight, and it looks like the Nature Boy's happy to give Mysterio this chance in the Nitro main event. Nate won't shake Rey's hand before locking up, but you can tell Flair knows this is something a little special. Rey gets revenge for the handshake snub by slapping Flair around a bit. Ric then walks right into a few drop toe holds, and Mysterio impresses with a springboard leg drop. Flair now feels seriously disrespected and he marches over to Mysterio looking to do some damage, but Ric gets slapped right in the face. A few more shots lead to the famous Flair flop, and the crowd are definitely behind Rey Mysterio tonight. You don't really expect him to win, but it's nice to have a little hope. Ric throws Rey out of the ring and Mysterio is able to stop Arn Anderson from attacking him. A springboard seated senton puts the Nature Boy on the mat, and then Ric lures Mysterio out of the ring so AA can try to put Mysterio out of commission once again. This time the Enforcer is successful and Rey's now in a bad spot. Back in the ring, Mysterio takes a few chops as the crowd chant Ric Flair sucks. The Nature Boy pulls off his signature knee drop, and when Rey tries to catch Ric out with a few pin attempts, Flair gets angry and Rey gets beaten up pretty badly. The longer the match goes, the more it favors the world champion. Ric performs a standing suplex followed by an elbow drop. He then whips Rey into the ropes and Mysterio smacks his head pretty badly here. No idea how this happened, but it looked like it hurt a lot. Rey shakes it off and he comes back with a springboard axe factor followed by a dropkick. When the Nature Boy goes to the top rope, he ends up taking a hurricanrana that should have won Rey the world championship, but Arn Anderson pulls Charles Robinson out of the ring and the referee calls for the bell. Rey thinks he won the world belt, but it's a DQ finish in the Nitro main event. The dodgy referee holds up Ric Flair's hand in victory, and Nitro ends with Rey Mysterio sending the Nature Boy into the water. We all know Rey wasn't beating Flair on this night, but I still enjoyed this main event. A good change of pace for WCW, and even though he didn't win the championship, it was a good night for Rey Mysterio Jr. Vince McMahon comes to the ring before our Raw main event and he says he hopes Austin enjoyed himself earlier tonight because Stone Cold won't enjoy what he's about to experience. Austin has no chance in hell of leaving WrestleMania this week with the WWF Championship. The man who is going to leave with the belt is going to sit a commentary tonight to get a good close look at this next matchup, and the man who's going to referee the WrestleMania main event is going to tear Stone Cold limb from limb tonight on Raw. Remember though, Paul White has to beat Mankind to earn the right to referee the Austin vs Rock match this Sunday, and Mick's got a chance to show off his referee abilities in this final match tonight on Raw. Paul White towers over Stone Cold at the opening bell. The Rattlesnake lays in a few right hands, but he's quickly overpowered by the Big Show. Austin takes a big chop and a kick to the midsection before Show chokes the number one contender out with his big boot, but a low blow brings Stone Cold back into it. Austin tries to use the ring post to his advantage, but he gets kicked right over the barrier and into the audience. Austin then finds himself in trouble when Show lifts him up for a chokehold. Mankind then interferes on Austin's behalf, and obviously this pisses the big man off, but this also gives Austin a chance to remove a turnbuckle pad. The plan backfires when Stone Cold goes headfirst into the exposed steel when going for a stunner. Another stunner attempt gets easily countered. Steve Austin then takes a big boot and he falls out of the ring, and on the rampway, Big Show performs a press slam. Stone Cold is being dominated tonight. The corporate giant no sells a ring post bump, and it's Austin who takes more damage. This makes Foley grab a steel chair and he tells Show to get back in the ring. If Paul doesn't get back inside the ropes, then Foley will use force. The Big Show then misses an elbow drop, but Austin's comeback gets stopped with a big old bear hug. When Austin eventually breaks free, he takes Paul out with a Luthes press. When Big Show kicks out of Stone Cold's cover, the Rattlesnake decides to hit the big man multiple times with Foley's steel chair, and after a Stone Cold stunner, Foley counts the 1-2-3. The big man was screwed over in this main event, but the outcome pleases the fans in attendance. Raw goes off the air with Austin and Rock exchanging right hands in the middle of the ring, and just before the show fades to black, Stone Cold takes a rock bottom. Raw wins reliving the war this week. I did enjoy the Nitro main event, but Raw made me very excited to watch WrestleMania 15 again. The Stone Cold Beer Bash is also a legendary piece of WWF television, and it's just as fun to watch now as it was back then. I do enjoy the Panama City Beach episodes of Monday Nitro, but this was the weakest spring break Nitro so far by a country mile. Raw's now on 90 points, Nitro's got 69 points, and we've got 19 ties on the board. In the TV ratings, Raw got a massive 6.4 rating, while Nitro scored a 4. Fans are going to be interested in what happened at WrestleMania next week, so WCW's immediate future projections don't look too good at all. We've made it to another WrestleMania in the Reliving the War series, and video production has already wrapped up by the time you watch this video. Undertaker vs. Boss Man inside Hell in a Cell, The Big Show vs. Mankind, The Rock vs. Stone Cold Steve Austin, there's plenty to look forward to in the 1999 Showcase of the Immortals. Hopefully, I'll see you on Sunday for WrestleMania 15. Thank you so much for watching Reliving the War, and please take care.